Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, let's do this. Good morning. What's up? It's a Tuesday that feels like a Thursday, but that's okay. We got you. We got you covered. I'm Bill Ryder. We have a great show lined up, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Aside from you Bills fans, if I'm reading this Rocket Mortgage Squares situation correctly, and I think I am, that is impetus to root for the Chiefs. You want score changes? You want money? You want Patrick Mahomes in that game? I'm in a great mood. I'm in a good place today. I don't know if it was the Bieber fever yesterday, the weirdness in the sports world, or all the good stuff we have to talk about. Either way, hope you'll stick around for the ride. If you want to call in, we want to hear from you. Toll-free line to do that. It's easy. You call 855-212-4CBS, the executive producer. That's how important your call is. Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom on Twitter, will answer, figure out what the hell you want to talk about, put you on hold, and I will get to you. We'll put you on the airwaves. You can also hit me up on the old Twitter machine, Sports Rider, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Look, I'm not a cool person. I'm a 42-year-old non-cool guy. And I've been married for a long time. I have two kids. And feel like I have both zero game when that was applicable and a moral compass. Maybe that's why I don't understand sending a picture of your privates to another woman in any scenario, especially when it's unwanted. Wrong. I get it. I got it. I'm there. But the level of absolute stupidity and social dysfunction it takes, maybe I'm missing something. I don't think I am. Jared Porter, the GM of the Mets, is gone. This ain't new. What was it, 10 years ago? Brett Favre story? With Jen Sturger? No! We'll get into that. Don't do it, you human scumbags. You idiots. What a combo of stupidity and scumbaggery. No. James Harden, the beard, Kevin Durant looked real good against the Bucks last night. And I got a perspective on that. Why we should celebrate it, but please, to my neighbor who I really like, to some of my bosses at HQ who I mostly like, and to some of you on Twitter who I appreciate. No, we cannot cry. The Nets did it! Champion, it worked! You're wrong! Stop. We'll get into it in 30 minutes. The Athletic today had a really interesting piece. I love this kind of work, probably selfishly because it's the kind of work that I do on the NBA. A reported thought experiment on Deshaun Watson. Five crazy trades that aren't that crazy. Jets fans, Niners fans, stay tuned for this. You're going to like it. Texans fans, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't do it, but we're going to get into it an hour from now. We'll do some early NFL predictionating, making up words as I go, because it's Tuesday. Why not? Tuesday feels like a Thursday. Let's just make up some words and see how it goes. We will do some early NFL playoff, AFC, NFC championship predictions, and of course, buy or sell toward the end of the program. I was thinking over the last few days about don't know if it's a paradox or just one of those really complicated things you can't separate. I'm not smart enough to know. The remarkably important connection between, but sometimes also the way that one participant in this connection can basically draft on another, and how it's hard to tell the difference between a remarkably successful head coach in the National Football League and a remarkably successful quarterback in the National Football League. And it's sort of like the chicken and the egg, or if a tree falls in the forest, who the hell thought of this question because my head hurts now, football dilemma. To what degree does a head coach create a great quarterback in the environment that leads to that? Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. And to what degree is the quarterback, had they been in some alternate universe, right, in a different situation, to what degree would some or all or none of these quarterbacks have flourished in the same way? And as a result, have made sure whatever coach was lucky enough to have them as part of their time lead an NFL organization, that coach would have flourished as well. There's obviously some evidence to suggest that that situation matters. See the Cleveland Browns. We've spent a lot of time over the years talking about quarterback careers going to die. And this really hit home for me yesterday when I saw a great Bruce Arians quote. He's taken a shot at Bill Belichick, but it was also to Peter King, which I think deserves its own context. It's one thing to go in front of a microphone with a bunch of reporters, many of whom you don't like or respect and want to be around, especially if you're Bruce Arians. That's kind of his thing. And to take a pointed shot at Bill Belichick. It's another thing when you're a good reporter, and Peter King's an exceptional reporter, to have built the respect and the trust of people in your league. And so you're going to get candor that sounds like it's shots taken when it's really a guy letting his guard down. It's honesty more often than calibrated and calculated shots, in this case, Bill Belichick. Let me read you the quote from Bruce Arians. I think it's really interesting. And it's one of the things that I haven't seen from Bruce Arians in a long time. Self-awareness. It's about Tom Brady. This is Bruce Arians on Tom Brady. Quote, consummate leader. Has been all year. Got the air of confidence that permeates through our team every day. Here's the key part. I allow him to be himself, like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back and watch sometimes. That's an admission of the greatness of Tom Brady. And not just Brady, but the rare quarterbacks who are so special that if you let them be them, you can share in the limelight. You can share in the glory. It's hard for me to separate and really to know because Tom Brady is the greatest QB of all time. And there's a real chance at 43 with a new team separated from the only organization he'd ever known until now, he's going to win another freaking Super Bowl. I mean, it's absurd and ridiculous. I did a love letter to him on the radio yesterday, and it pained me. It's like a dark, evil Valentine I didn't want to send, but I had to. And I don't want to diminish Bill Belichick's role in that, despite the whatever they were, 6-10 year. We'll see. But evaluation, and one of the things that's really interesting about the Patriots' divorce and the relationship to Brady, Bill Belichick's not an offensive guy. That isn't how he made his bones. Now, the true geniuses learn what they need to learn. I mean, one of the things that make it likely Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire in world history is his ability, whatever you think of the guy, to pick a subject material, a random subject, and master it and learn it and know it and be an expert at it. There's no reason that a Bill Belichick over years as the head coach who began as a defensive guy can't become highly functional, if not better, offensively, and especially as a CEO in a position. But that's not where he comes from. And yet, he is credited with, and he should be, the catalyst for the culture and all the things that led to Tom Brady being Tom Brady, as he should be. And one of the things that has defined that, from the very beginning all the way through Brady's exit, was Bill Belichick's ability to evaluate Brady in the larger context of the hoodie's genius as an evaluator. And another thing that we thought, and maybe it still does, define Belichick as the greatest NFL coach of all time was the culture of the team over the self. the ability in an ego-driven world, an ego-driven business, in a business of ambitious people. Look, ambition plus spotlight plus high competition leads to insecurity in any business, the NFL included. Been around these guys. Been around radio hosts. Ain't different. It ain't different. The confident ones are special because they're rare. And Belichick's ability, theoretically, not just to evaluate talent, but to get people to buy into no ego. And yet, at the end, the Patriots way and Bill Belichick failed at both those things. Think about the evaluation, the football evaluation failure of not seeing what Tom Brady could still do. And the ego failure of not being able, if you're Bill Belichick, to subjugate your own ego when you and Brady got sideways. If it's about football, if it's about the team, if it's about winning, and Brady's annoying as hell, and he is, but he's good enough that he can make Bruce Arians look like a Super Bowl-level head coach, you make it work. He didn't. How do you separate what Brady did from Bill Belichick? I don't have a good answer. And I think we're going to get a look at this concept. One of the, again, I said Dark Valentine, I'll say sort of dark offshoots of this great, this remarkable run of all-time great quarterbacks is the possibility it's going to expose the level to which they made the careers of men who did not deserve them. We've already seen this with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy got some credit, right? He raised up Aaron Rodgers as a pup, and he taught him everything he knew, and then their egos clashed. Maybe Aaron Rodgers was Charlie's golden ticket. Maybe it was the lottery numbers coming up. I mean, I don't know how many lottery winners think they won because they deserved it, but what happened was they got really freaking lucky. That's one, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers. Let's look at John Elway, the genius. And he's an amazing quarterback, don't get me wrong. But as a football player personnel, look at the genius. We made it to a Super Bowl with Elway in charge, and we won one. It was everything. He's amazing. Oh, Peyton retired. We suck. We suck. Go sell cars again. That's two. Bill Belichick. I'm not writing Belichick off yet. I'm a believer, but I'm starting to be a doubting Thomas of a believer. Has the crow made its noise a few times yet? Can I stop with the doubts? Maybe not. We'll see. And keep an eye on Sean Payton. Keep an eye on Sean Payton. My doubts of Sean Payton are very high. Not necessarily because of Sean Payton's track record, though I think there's some reasons there. Since that Super Bowl, the dude's gone 11 seasons. He's won 5 playoff games in 11 years, man, since he won a Super Bowl. 5. Not good at math. That is not even one every other year. I can do that math. Never 2 in the same season. And he had Drew Brees. And not just broken, you know, AARP, octogenarian Drew Brees. You know how when you're making a joke with a buddy about being an old man, you like look up the cartoon guy and the walker? I just send pictures of Drew Brees now. It's the same effect, and it's easier to find on the search. Before that, and the level of talent and the roster. Sean Payton, highly celebrated. Genius, amazing. We're going to find out. Jameis Winston, huh? You're either a genius or you got a lot of ego. I saw that story with Cam Newton, and I'm a much bigger believer in Cam Newton than Jameis Winston. Much bigger believer. Andy Reid deserves all the credit in the world. I'm not trying to rain on Andy Reid's parade. I'm not. Just going to say, Tom Brady's the best QB of all time. He leaves, Bill Belichick fails, Brady succeeds. Small sample size. Okay. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback of all time with the track record, the sample size we have. Mike McCarthy leaves, he fails. Aaron Rodgers, second consecutive NFC Championship game. Interesting. John Elway's genius extends from the field to the front office. Manning leaves. It's the Vic Fangio era. That's enough said. We'll just put that aside. Okay, got it. Now Drew Brees is leaving. We're going to find out. And it's possible Patrick Mahomes, because I understand that there's a connection between organization and success. I'm not writing that off. I subscribe to it in a very real way. Look at the Buffalo Bills and what they've done for Josh Allen. That is a product of a culture and a plan and a confidence and whatever's going on. And it's probably more complicated than it was either Brady or it was Belichick. The real answer is there was a spark there, just like there was for McCarthy and Rodgers. But at a certain point, the genius coaches who were mostly drafting off their quarterbacks lost sight of that. But maybe not. I mean, if I was going to pick three quarterbacks I could drop into any place on the face of the earth and any timeline on any team that I think might be so successful they'd make anyone look amazing, you could do worse than picking Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. By the way, even though I like to give Peyton Manning a hard time because it really makes people that I work with angry and I just am amused by that, Peyton Manning was a coach on the field and we saw it. We saw it. Maybe so those four. I read a great story in The New Yorker a few days ago. Amazing. And I think it's from an issue. I'm one of those guys that subscribes to The New Yorker but then doesn't read it, right? Like 60 of them sit next to the bathroom and, you know, I'm like, oh, man. Probably should read those. I did read one. And it was called, I believe it was called Our Unlived Lives. And it was just a rumination by a writer about what would have happened if you dated that different girl, if you'd gone to that different college, if you'd taken a different turn. I mean, me, and it connected with me, not just because I'm interested in the science of alternate universes, but because, like an idiot, I'm an idiot. I know this. I'm a 42-year-old, still dumb. My first date with my wife, I invited her and another girl out at the same place at the same time, just forgot. I don't have a good answer for what I was doing. And they both showed up at the exact same, I thought I got stood up. They both were late. So I walked outside and they both showed up. Had Lori hit a red light, forgotten her phone, didn't have a phone back then. Had she been 90 seconds later, another girl would have walked up to me first and they would have gone a different direction. My kids wouldn't have been born. And the story sort of talks about all these things that could have changed. You, wherever you are, you go to a different college. You take a different job, especially the college. You have a different life. You have a different mate. You have different children. And it made the case that it doesn't matter what would have happened. It's what happened. It's that human beings start with an array of possibilities, and they narrow as they make choices and random things happen. And that's true in the National Football League. I get it. Only unlike real life and marriage and time travel, we can get a glimpse of these unlived lives of these quarterbacks. I've seen Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. And to me, it enhances his genius and diminishes that of Bill Belichick. I've seen Peyton Manning when he was in Denver and what John Elway put around him and what John Elway put together without Manning. Forget Super Bowls. Teams weren't even functional. I think we're going to see a similar story with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Maybe not. Maybe Sean Payton's an actual genius. I know Andy Reid's great at his job. I get it. Could not ever win the big game without Patrick Mahomes. Couldn't do it. I mean, I've sort of done the Kevin Stefanski, I guess you're a really good hire, good job. Maybe. Or maybe he's just doing what Bruce Arians figured out and had the candor to say to Peter King, bro, I just get out of the way. We got a good team. We got a young team. Tom can teach him to lead. We can win. I just get out of the way. Sometimes that's all it takes. There aren't many talents that are at that level. Mahomes is one. Rodgers is one. Brady is one. It really doesn't speak well for Bill O'Brien, does it? Because it feels like Deshaun Watson should be one, but clearly not. Bruce Arians may be taking some shots at Bill Belichick. I think it's more reminding people almost every quarterback needs the right situation to be successful, the right coach. But sometimes it goes the other way, and it's just hard for us to figure out when those times are. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, all left. All got a shot at the Super Bowl. I think you can make a case for each of those guys. I mean, think about Brady drafting the sixth round. Rodgers had to sit behind Favre and his massive ego for three seasons. Mahomes was a talented arm who wasn't going to probably convert at Texas Tech. Maybe. Or maybe he was a genius in waiting just like those other very different paths to success. I don't want to say this because I don't want it to be true. I think it was Tom Brady, not Bill Belichick, even if Belichick turns out to be a great coach. And I think it's very likely Sean Payton is in for a very cold, cold dash of reality in the years ahead. 855-212-4CBS. You want to give us a call? All right. Push this off as long as I can. Jared Porter, sent pictures of his private parts to a female reporter who had no interest in them and made it pretty clear she had no interest in him. He no longer has a job. We'll ruminate not on unlived lives, but just the stupidity with which people conduct themselves in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Well, let's get a phone call. Let's go out to Edmonton, Alberta. Andrew, what up, dude? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, awesome. Great show, Bill. Good morning. And I have two points quickly. I just want your thoughts. I know it's a different sport, but by the sheer definition of is it coach or QB, does that not mean every NBA coach in an individual sport is useless? I mean, Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan and Shaq and Kobe Bryant. The only great coach by that definition is NHL Scotty Bowman. Every single place he ever won with multiple superstars he won. And I just want your thoughts and feelings on that take. And then also, when it comes to the NBA right now with the Nets and Kyrie Irving and the Cleveland Browns and OBJ, are those teams truly better off getting rid of them? And that's all I have for you.
Andrew, thanks, buddy. All right, so yeah, we're gonna hit Kyrie and the Nets here in about 15 minutes. So I'm not saying that there's no value for coaches. I think there are coaches who are amazing in what they do. What I am saying is we may place some coaches in the upper echelons of greatness, not because of their actual greatness, because of the players who they had the benefit to coach at the quarterback position. And to your point on the NBA, that certainly applies so far to Ty Lue. I mean, 100%. That would have applied to David Blatt had they not run to that Warriors team. David Blatt would be a celebrated head coach somewhere instead of coaching, I don't know where he's coaching, Cyprus? The Cyprus Argonauts? I don't even know where he's coaching right now. LeBron's the perfect example. I could coach LeBron win an NBA championship. I would do what Bruce Arians just talked about with Tom Brady. Sit back and let him coach. Now, I think Eric Spoelstra is the other side of that. There are guys who are the other side of that equation. Spoelstra won two with LeBron James, but he's an amazing coach and almost got one last year. Without a, no offense to Jimmy Butler, a true superstar. There are coaches who are incredible. Pete Carroll, I think, is a great example. Should have won two, won one, was amazing in college at USC. And he is Russ, but Russell Wilson is not Tom Brady. No one is. I think Rodgers is a similar level. Think about the skill it takes, we now realize, to win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy as your head coach and Ted Thompson making NFL decisions. That is actual genius. So I think the ability to separate these guys, A, it's situational, right? And B, it's a matter of degree. All right, so before we get into Bogish here, I'll get Bogish's take on that. He's like me. He's a boring married guy with kids. I don't think he's going to understand. I don't think Tom's going to understand. It's too bad when you have Stu Kovacs, who used to produce the show. That guy, like, the lady, I mean, Stu and the ladies, it's just a nonstop carousel of, you know, opportunity. I honestly don't understand. Look, I don't approve of being a scumbag. I don't think it's okay. But I understand that there are people that are like that. I understand there are bad people in the world in positions of power. I've experienced them. And I'm not even mad at Steve Cohen in the Mets, right? I know that the easy sort of knee-jerk response is, it's the Mets, being the Mets again, fire, just hiring and firing somebody, Carlos Beltran. It's hard to know who people are when you hire them. It's hard to know who people are when you are hired by them. I was telling Tom before the show, I've been hired for a lot of jobs that have altered or increased or sped up the trajectory of my career. And there's probably five or six bosses to whom I owe a ton personally, financially, how blessed my life is. And, you know, most of those guys are good dudes. One of them is one of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. And one of them is one of the worst human beings I've ever encountered, literally. And I've visited people on death row. I'm not kidding. One of the worst people I've ever met. It's hard to know who people are. And for Jared Porter, who sent a picture of his junk, of his private parts, to a reporter, a female reporter who had no interest. And if you missed the story, the gist of it is he met her at the ballpark years ago. He was with the Cubs at the time, I believe. He got an elevator. He hit on her. She had no interest. She didn't return a series of text messages. And by the way, if like a head of player of scouting or international scouting or player personnel or an assistant GM, if your reporter gives you their phone number or ask you, you give it to them. That is currency, man or woman. I have a ton of phone numbers in my phone. I have Bill Belichick's phone number in my phone. I've got the GM of the Royals number in my phone. I can go through Scott Pioli. I don't think he texts me back on my phone. Right? Just because people have phone numbers doesn't mean that they're sending me pictures of their junk. Right? That there's no, well, she did give her number. Shut up. If that's you, be quiet. Stop talking. Listen more, talk less. That garbage already percolating up. This guy sent a bunch of photos of his private parts to a reporter unasked. And now his life and his career are utterly ruined. I'm not good for the Mets. Fire the guy. By the way, what a run. That is the shortest, most successful GM run of all time. That's the other. The guy had an amazing run. Doesn't matter. Can't do it. What I don't understand, I know I'm supposed to come on the radio and give answers. Now I just have questions. I don't understand. In what universe do people think sending a picture of their private parts is a good idea? As a courting ritual? You know, a photo of your cool car? Okay, you're a D-bag, but I got it, you know? Your amazing house at the pool? Now I'm just jealous of you, but go for it. I heard about a guy yesterday who lived on what's called a walk street in Hermosa Beach. Walk street's like a sidewalk that is people's front yard, and there's no cars there, and they're amazing and magical, and they go right down to the ocean, right? Like 2 feet from the ocean. And I guess the guy was like 29 and would just set up music outside and, you know, be like, ladies, do you want to come and have a drink? And they'd be like, sure. And he had a very, very nice 4 or 5 years, as it was explained to me by his buddy. Cool. Seems like a very, very legitimate social endeavor approach. You're going to send a picture of your private parts? What are we talking about here? Jared Porter deserved to be fired, and good for the Mets to do it as soon as they knew. And I'm not mad at the Mets for not knowing. What do you mean not knowing? Well, he lied. You know, Section 32 of the resume, did you send your junk photo to anyone unsolicited? He checked no. How do you vet for that? I guess there could be a startup somewhere like check that junk, just like background all the. Is it that common a thing? I mean, I guess it is. I'll never forget. I keep saying how dumb I am, but you know, stories come up. So got to own it. Sitting in the Kansas City Star newsroom 10 years ago, hating my life. I was like writing obits. Had an editor who just thought it was a good idea. I got moved off sports against my will. Thought it was a good idea to like pick up my papers and just throw them on my face one day. Like, okay, that's a nice moment. This is a great job. And a buddy in this exact sort of like week, I was like, God, I hate my life. And a buddy sent me like, oh, open, dude, check this out. Okay. And there, I had a big screen. That's the only thing they gave me at the Star once they moved me. It was like a big computer screen so that everyone in the newsroom behind me could see me looking at Brett Favre's junk. Like, wow, that's a giant private part. And I hate my life so much, I can't move quickly enough to get the screen down. Now people should throw things on me. Now you should pick up the things on my desk and dump them on my face. That wasn't fair to Jen Sturger. There's no scenario where that's acceptable. There's no scenario, well, this would... Screw those people. And by the way, Brett Favre gets a pass, right? Oh, lovable Brett, he's back. He's back. Lovable Brett. Not okay. I understand that there's scumbaggery out there. What I don't understand is the stupidity that it requires, the cognitive dissonance to think that A, it's a good idea, and B, and again, not that you should be game planning how to get away with your scumbaggery, but if you're a scumbag, that's probably what you should be doing. Can we be honest? If you're a bad person, you probably should try to not display it in ways that can get you fired. Here's the thing about a picture of one's junk, I would imagine. Not I would imagine. This has to be. You're sending a photo that can be shared. That can be shared. That can be shared with anybody. That 4 years later, when you become a GM and a reporter has told this story because they're traumatized. I've had, and by the way, I'm not some expert on the Me Too movement. I'm not. But as I told Tom, I have friends who, female reporters, who are wonderful people who have shared with me horrible things that have happened to them. And my response is, you need to tell someone about that professional moment. And their response is, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what happened to me. This isn't a small thing. It's wrong. It's morally despicable. It's damaging to the human being on the other end of that. It's disgusting. It is beyond unacceptable. I have no sympathy for Jared Porter, and that's where things get complicated. Sometimes people are bad people, and they grow into better people. I'm willing to accept that. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter to me who Jared Porter became. You were a scumbag. You grew into a good guy in a four-year gulf that your past came back to haunt you. That's your past, man. Not hers. Not mine. Not Steve Cohen's. Not Mets fans like Andrew Bogus or Tom Benedetto. That's you. You're the one that did this. There's no sympathy. There's no blame on the Mets. There's no blame on this woman. There's no blame on the reporters. You did this to yourself. You're responsible for your actions. You morally deserve it. People don't usually get what they deserve. You're also just dumb because you did it in a text message. It's a shareable thing. There are a lot of things that have happened to people, women and men, from those in power that you can't prove. And I know of some. There's no photo. There's no text message. There's no email. And those people get away. Those people get away with it. I'm glad this guy got caught. One less of those dudes in a position of power is exactly what should happen. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Andrew asked about Kyrie and the Nets. I've got a take on what we saw last night. No Kyrie. Looks like he'll be back soon. But great game between the Bucks and the Nets. It was a hell of a basketball game. Back and forth. Harden was amazing. Missed a big shot at the end. But you know who didn't? Durant. That's the recipe. So I got some praise for the Nets, but I've also got not a stop sign. It's a flashing slow down sign for everyone. Ha ha, I knew it! Ha ha, Ryder! You were wrong! It's all gonna work. It's two games. And we're gonna get into it here in a moment after we visit with Andrew Bogish. Hey Bogish.
Hey guys, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, dude. I'm sorry about what's going on with your Mets team.
There's no need to apologize to me. Like you just said, I'm just happy that they didn't try to figure a way to keep Jared Porter. They didn't even drag their feet. I don't mind that they slept on what was going on, but then the first thing this morning is they had to do what they had to do, and he had to be fired. So I'm actually happy that they handled it as well as they seem to have handled it in these first 12 or 15 hours of this.
I think it bodes really well for, you know, there's a long ways to go in evaluating the owner as a new owner, but this is an important first step. There are owners in the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA who would have just made it work, especially after the trades that this guy pulled off.
Well, and I think the built-in open door to somehow ignoring this was that it happened 4 years ago, and they could have spun with this. You know, he apologized then. He hasn't done it since, and we think he's learned his lesson. You know, they could have given him some kind of nominal punishment between now and spring training or through spring training to try and placate people. There was a way for them to attempt to keep him. But, and who knows, did they have a conversation like that overnight? They could have. But the move they made this morning was to fire him without any hesitation.
It does feel like, I'm totally speculating here, it does feel like one of those things where there was some conversation and then the owner either weighed in or took his time, right? People that are very successful tend to know not to make snap decisions and was just like, no, it's over.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you have to, even just from like a legal standpoint, like you have to flesh everything out. You have to think about how it's all going to play out and what our options are and what are we going to owe him.
Those are all the things that have to happen.
Right. You can't just fire a person within 7 seconds. You have to understand everything and then what the three or four following moves are. So I'm sure there was somebody in the room that brought up like, do we have to do this? And the answer might have been immediately, yes, he has to be fired. But the bottom line is they fired him, and they didn't even wait till lunchtime to do it.
I think it's a great point. It's like Tennessee and Pruitt. There is a process by which you need to fire people who are under contract that make sure, if you believe you're firing someone for cause, that they're not collecting 50 or 70 or 100% of the money that was guaranteed. And that's how these contracts work. Like, well, I don't know what Porter was making, but I'm sure it was substantial.
Well, I mean, his only defense in all of this has basically been like the nude pictures I sent weren't me. They were like somebody else. Otherwise, he's owned up to, you know, he's said it's all true. I mean, they have this text, so there's nothing really for him to debate. But that was his only tiny defense, was like, those were stock photos, not actually of me, as if that made a difference. But the guy was dead to rights and deserved to lose his job, and he did.
It's a great job, too. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see who gets it, because we're in January now.
But don't forget, in theory, it's a great job, but they didn't hire it the way they wanted to. Remember how they were first going to hire a big shot and then a guy underneath him, and they go, no big shot, Sandy's going to be the guy, we'll hire a GM. And then they didn't even get the guys, the first few names through, then they landed on him. So I don't know necessarily where they go now to replace him, but that doesn't matter.
I think it's you have to find a really smart person who's not a big name, who hasn't sent pictures of their junk to people that do not welcome that. You know, that's a narrower list than we suspected.
All right, let me get to the NBA now. How about some regular baseball news first? Sure. The Nationals, they are signing their second former Cub this offseason. First, it was Kyle Schwarber. Now it's John Lester, the veteran lefty, was hoping to pitch one more season in Chicago, but they could not make that work. Now to the NBA. The lead was 19 early. It was 14 late. The Lakers still didn't win.
Caruso, far sideline, two hands of the ball, up top to James. He dribbles, he shoots, it's on the way, it's no good, it's off the back rim, and an amazing comeback victory for Golden State in LA.
That's Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Golden State stealing a 115-113 victory at Staples. LeBron and the Lakers 6 of 19 from the floor in the fourth quarter to let that lead slip away. James Harden, Kevin Durant combining for 64 to get Brooklyn past Milwaukee 125-123. The Nets now 2-0 with Harden. Kyrie Irving missed his 7th game in a row. Blazers guard CJ McCollum diagnosed with a small fracture and a sprain in his left foot. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Saints VP for pro personnel Terry Fontenot is the Falcons' new general manager. Washington said to be close to hiring Marty Herney as GM. He worked with Ron Rivera in Carolina as well. And the Eagles expected to interview Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni for their head coaching job. College Hoops, number 2 Baylor took care of number 9 Kansas, 77-69. Third-ranked Villanova plays tonight for the first time since December 23rd because of COVID. They host Seton Hall at 9. And on ice last night, the Sabres roughed up the Flyers 6-1. Carolina 4-2 win in Nashville, and the Flames beat the Canucks 5-2. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, thank you, buddy. All right, we're going to get, as promised, to just a little NBA talk. Harden plus Durant equaled a very impressive, hard-fought win against the Bucks last night. Let's get into the details here, into the nuance, and tell you what it actually means and what it doesn't next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. I love that reentry. When he's right, he's right. That's me. Yeah, what that guy doesn't tell you is when he's wrong, he's also wrong. Unfortunately, what a way to make a living. That, like, just having a voice. That guy got paid to say, when he's right, he's right. I mean, that's amazing. I got a good buddy. I've told this story. Play poker at his house. Lives up in the hills. Lives above LeBron. Like, I have to pass Jim Carrey's house to get to this guy's house. This guy's an average dude. He's in shape. Looks like me, other than the fact that he's, like, in really good shape. Finally, I'm like, dude, who are you? Travolta's his neighbor. John Travolta's his neighbor. He got a better house. He's the world-famous voiceover guy. Apparently, that's a thing. Just lives in his house. Every time I go, there's a different model, literally, who's leaving. See you, baby.
Voiceover / voice acting is the single best career in the entertainment business, as far as I'm concerned.
I guess he did The Simpsons and a bunch of stuff.
Not bad.
Not American Idol, I think.
I'd do it.
Dude, that was a poker game that began as a $200 buy-in. Do you know who Jennifer Tilly is, the actress and poker player, and Phil Locke, the Unabomber?
Yes.
Those guys were regulars of the game.
That's terrifying.
I'm a pretty good poker player. I'm okay. My brother's exceptional. My brother won like $200,000 on TV last year, right before the pandemic. And I was in this game. It was $200. I could do $200 every week, right? This became like $2,000. I mean, I built over. I won a bunch of money, and then luckily moved to New York. Luckily, got out of there. They were gonna chop me up for sure. I'll never forget, you poker players, real quick. I moved all in. This is a lot of money for like 2,000 crackers or whatever's legal. Actually, it's legal in LA. $2,100 with Aces. Kings, excuse me. And there's all these rich guys, like, you know, like movie producers, just like, called me, just like it was nothing with Ace Four. You poker players know you don't want that call. It held up. I was like, bro, just fold the $200 that's in there. You have Ace Four offsuit.
That's my thing. Playing with A, pros who are in a home game, and B, rich people. You're just playing with a bunch of people. It's like playing with NBA players in the gym. Like, they're just shooting around. How are you have any chance? They're just shooting around, you nice just, and relaxed, no stakes.
Yeah, you stand in fear, and then you hope you get, like, a breakaway layup, and you don't miss it. And not
dunked on with the ball in your face.
That's what you do. All right, Harden was amazing last night. First player to ever debut with a team with 30-plus points and 10-plus assists in back-to-back games. He was remarkable. He really was. He missed a big shot at the end, which was the most predictable thing on earth. That's an unnecessary shot, Bill. When he's a jerk, he's a jerk. That should be the return. But Durant hit that shot. Rebound, Harden gets the ball to Durant. Durant nails it. Middleton misses a three from the corner. Great game. Great game. Brooklyn wins. And I just want to say this. This is exactly on point. This is exactly how the script was going to go. No one ever doubted these guys were going to be amazing early on. A, without Kyrie, and B, in the honeymoon period. And I just want to give a little bit of history, okay? When Harden and Chris Paul first got together, they won their first 14 games together in 2017. Their first 14 games together. And they made it to a conference finals and then blew it. Let's just be honest. Yeah. CP3 got hurt. Cool. So did Andre Iguodala, and that was significant. They didn't get there. And Harden played badly in games where had he played well at the end, they would have advanced to the finals. Period. It's what happened. So Harden wanted to swap out Chris Paul for Westbrook. And remember, those guys, that duo, started 11-3. And all the narrative became, including for me, I was wrong. Wow, they're really good together. They won 11 of their first 14 games together. That means that in the first 28 games with either Harden or Paul, the beard went 25-3. He always starts strong. The question is now, and the reason I'm worried is, have you seen his comments? You know, this is about my maturity and my leadership. No, it's not. You're here because you have neither, but you have massive talent. No one's doubting that. What I saw was a guy who didn't try in Houston. That when he got put out, he just stopped giving effort. That guy gets put out when he misses big shots in the playoffs. That guy gets put out when he can't sleep the night before the playoffs. Feels like that guy gets put out when he's just in the playoffs and the game's stressful. Kyrie's not back in the mix. It may work. It may work. I just personally don't think it will. But it's not like knowing that Jay Cutler is going to destroy your organization. It's right? There are some things that feel like absolutes. The Nets can go either way. It's not set in stone. It's not manifest destiny meets basketball. I just think it's a lot more likely than not, and a lot more likely than people think, that it's going to be a colossal, colossal failure. It's two games. It's two games. They played well. They played great. It's fun to watch. I love watching that style of basketball. They shoot quickly. They score a lot of points. They out-rebounded the Bucks. The Nets shouldn't out-rebound teams. They out-rebound by 7 or 8 rebounds. DeAndre Jordan, who looks like he's 50, can still rebound. Durant hit a big shot. Kyrie's still coming. Joe Harris hit a big shot. Even with the guys they had to get rid of, even with Allen and LeVert gone. They are a talented basketball team away from their two stars, and they have a third one coming. It's just too soon to make any adjustments to what you thought. Whatever you thought beforehand, whether you thought the Nets were going to win an NBA championship or make the finals for sure, or like me, you think it'll be a nice little surprise if they make a conference finals and will certainly lose there. Whatever you think, nothing that has happened so far should make you change course. It's way too soon. Fun. I'm enjoying it. It's a great win against the Bucks. Impressive win against the Bucks. Good game. Just think there's some warning signs. Harden missing that big shot at the end. Talk about his maturity and his leadership. No, bro. You're an amazing talent who has neither. All right. Deshaun Watson, Houston, you okay? I'm not even going to say it. You know what I want to say. You don't want to do the NASA joke. Houston, you okay? We got some trade options for Deshaun Watson. They're interesting. We'll dive into them next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Tuesday. Bill Ryder with you. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios with every score change during Super Bowl 55. Someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Phone number here on the program we would love to hear from you is 855-212-4CBS. Twitter is SportsRiter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. And my random old school movie suggestion of the day, Tuesday movie suggestion, is Spy Game with Robert Redford and Brad Pitt. That movie's amazing. I may or may not have watched it twice in the last 5 days. So sue me. I'm boring. We got a few other things to get to. Buy or sell at the end of the program. We'll do our early NFL chat as the field gets narrowed down. I'm doing pretty good so far. I've only missed a couple games against the spread and only one game overall in this postseason. Believe in the Ravens. I believe in the Bills, just the Ravens a little more. And it turned out I should have believed in the Bills a lot more than Baltimore. All right, so there is on the Twitter sphere, Sports Writer, Sports, my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R, producer underscore Tom is Mr. DiBenedetto, the executive producer, Thomas DiBenedetto. On the Twitter sphere, there's a lot of turmoil and angst in Houston. Twitter's amazing at certain things. It is a incredible way to curate, for better or worse, your newsfeed. It is an amazing way to plug into random things that you want to know about in places of the world that you don't have any connection to physically. I'm interested in Catalonia. And if you just get on there and like read about Catalan food, it's on there. And it's a great way for anger and frustration and grudges and grievance to coalesce together into a perfect stew of awfulness. And that's true right now with the Houston sports situation. People are very angry. I get it. I mean, Houston is what, the fourth? I think it's the fourth market in America in terms of size, which should lend itself to clout and power, right? New York, LA, Chicago, Houston. And Houston, very much unlike the other three places that I just talked about, doesn't have state income tax, which is a huge, huge benefit to people who make a whole bunch of money. It should be, and to a degree has been, a major player in professional sports. The Astros were going to be the team of the future, and they destroyed that through greed. The Rockets were this vibrant team run by, I throw the word genius around, but one of the true geniuses of the NBA and Daryl Morey, and one of the true lights of the game on the floor in James Harden. And really Mike D'Antoni. I mean, it was a really interesting triumvirate. And not only didn't work, but it fell apart in spectacular fashion, really through I think no fault in the Houston Rockets. Just one of those things. It didn't work and it all imploded. And the football team has a guy, asterisk, in Deshaun Watson, who is so special. I'm not going to give you all the stats. Just trust me, believe me, look it up. We talk about it nonstop. The guy has been one of the second best young quarterback, maybe the second best young quarterback of all time in his brief tenure, only behind Patrick Mahomes. He's miserable. And all the anger and angst on the Twitter sphere in Houston is suggesting that, including some reporting from radio hosts and people that are in the know, right? In the know, we're not talking Adam Schefter here, but suggestions, reporting, possibilities that the frustrations and the schism between Watson and the organization has elevated from Jack Easterby to Watson versus the owner. And the notion that maybe Deshaun Watson would offer Amir the owner situation. When that happens, you're gone. You're gone. Look, if I was like, it's me or Chernoff, I'm gone. If I was like, it's me or Entercom, I'd be like, who is this guy? And not just me, someone that was like, you know, equivalent to Deshaun Watson, right? Doesn't matter who it is. No. Look, Entercom's got to go or I go. See ya. So Deshaun Watson probably not going to be a member of the Houston Texans for the foreseeable future. And I had speculated this morning, I just had thought to myself, I wanted to talk to you here on the program on CBS Sports Radio about how, if he's going to stay, Deshaun Watson should leverage Bieniemy to come in. Felt like that was where it was trending. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. And you'd have these competing power structures of Bieniemy and Watson, right? Then you'd have Jack Easterby, and then you'd have Nick Caserio. And it'd be interesting how that triangulation would get along. And I just presume that's what was happening, since the Texans went from "we're not interested in Bieniemy" to let's get him on the old Skype. Let's get exceptions to the rules so that the NFL doesn't have to deal with one of its shining lights leaving an organization and painting that organization toxic for a very long time. But I think it's more problematic than that speculation. I think it's, oh my God, he's going to force his way out. Let's do whatever we can. Let's call this Eric Bieniemy guy last minute. Too late, maybe. So here are five trades that Mike Sando at The Athletic offered up. I got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to lie to you. The Athletic's been really disappointing. Love Sam Amick. Think he's worth the time. And Sandal's great. We're going to do a whole segment on his work right here. We'll bring, you know, anyway, you make your own decisions about subscribing or not. I always want to support jobs. It's been a little disappointing. All right. The Sandal article is great, though. Five trades he suggests. I'm going to throw them out there. Tom, you jump in if you want. We'll talk about them. Now, I should tell you, this is the reason I like this article is when I write stuff at CBS Sports, I'm going to write something tomorrow night on the Nets. My opinion, it's my perspective. I like to have fun with it. It's also almost always based on reporting. And this guy clearly did the same thing. I can tell based on the way it's written and the fact he's got sources mixed in with his own speculation. This is a reported think piece. I love this stuff. Trade number one, Deshaun Watson to the Jets. So Deshaun Watson and Randall Cobb would go to the Texans. Excuse me, go to the Jets. The Jets. And the Texans would receive Sam Darnold, 2021 number two overall pick, this year's third round pick, next year's first round pick from the Jets, the highest of the two. They have two, as well as a fourth round pick next year and their first round in 2023. Three firsts, Sam Darnold and some other high picks, third and fourth, for Watson and Cobb. And the reporting that Sando puts out there, to put this in context, is that the feeling, according to his sources, one exec, is that Mike LaFleur is so good at his job and they're so confident that LaFleur is the offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur's brother, is going to be good at what he does, that they feel like Sam Darnold can be salvaged to some degree, you know, to whatever degree. However, if I'm the Jets, I do this in half a second. Tom, you're a Jets fan. You've given away everything.
Yeah, my comment was probably that offer should be on the table as we speak right now already. Maybe they should offer that minus one of the first-round picks, but the other thing is they have extra first-round picks. Like, they can make that trade and still pick in the first round next year. So, yeah, I'm obviously with you. I actually believe the team right now when they say they think they can salvage Darnold and that Joe Douglas got these picks to make these picks. So I don't know how much they would agree with the two of us, but I think we're on the same page. That offer should already be on the table.
Here's what I would say. I'm with you. I agree with everything you said. Here's what I would say to the Jets. I understand, you know, you have a plan. It's a good plan. Deshaun Watson is the same as, or a little bit less, I think, than going to get Patrick Mahomes. The only scenario where Patrick Mahomes would be available is where it's so dysfunctional that you know his talent, but you don't know the certainty that it leads to success, right? No quarterback who's Mahomes, that level of greatness and the right situation, will become available. He's winning Super Bowls. But if it were Mahomes, right, understanding him as we do, I just don't think it's that much of a difference. Go get Deshaun Watson. Here, you can't win with Deshaun Watson, you can't win, including with Sam Darnold and all those first-round picks, period.
Totally agree. And the other thing about it is it's not like adding Harden and taking a little bit of a risk in terms of, like, character, not to completely crush James. But, I mean, it's lockstep in with this supposed culture rebuild that they're doing right now to bring in Deshaun as the leader that goes with this young coaching staff. It all seems perfect for them.
All right, next one. And obviously, every one of these situations we're going to throw out that involve a quarterback relies on the evaluation of Nick Caserio to turn that quarterback into a success, whatever version of a success they are. And they don't have a head coach, so it's hard to know. You want to make decisions about, I'm about to bring up Tua Tagovailoa, I'll bring up Jimmy Garoppolo in a second. Obviously, just talk about Darnold. hard to make these decisions if you're the Texans without a head coach. But if you're waiting on Bieniemy to try to lock in Deshaun Watson, you enter this sort of vortex of bad timing. Next one, Deshaun Watson and Texas's 2022 next year fourth round pick via Arizona for Tua, the number three overall pick this year, next year's first round pick, and a 2023 second round pick that would upgrade if the Dolphins made the playoffs over that time with Deshaun Watson. And again, like, not as appealing, but I mean, number three overall pick, it depends how you evaluate Tua. I think you have to evaluate Tua pretty highly to sign off on this trade.
Probably, yeah. It seems a lot more likely from the Miami perspective they'd be very interested. We already know it's kind of weird with them and Tua, and they also have extra picks to make. But I totally agree. It completely depends on what Houston views Tua as. Now, there is the rumor, and we've talked about it on the show, that for multiple years, that the Belichick regime was very high on Tua. That would presumably include Nick Caserio, and if it did, right, maybe that's the key to this actually being the most likely scenario.
Man, and the problem becomes, and Casario's been in that job as the top player personnel person subordinate to Bill Belichick, but important since 2008. They've had a lot of success in the draft over that time. They have not had a lot of success recently. So it makes you nervous, right? Now, who knows? Maybe part of the reason Caserio left is I'm just speculating. He felt like Belichick had lost his edge a little bit in decisions being made, because the decisions made in New England paint Caserio, but they're Bill Belichick's decisions in the end. You never know the internal dynamics. The next one doesn't make a lot of sense, I don't think, but it makes sense for Deshaun Watson because he could go home. It's the Falcons, Deshaun Watson, for the Texans get this year's number four overall pick, next year's first round pick, this year's second round pick, and 2023 second round pick that becomes a first if the Falcons make the playoffs with Deshaun Watson, and the notion being that then in this scenario, the Falcons would turn around and trade Matt Ryan somewhere else as part of the build around Deshaun.
Sounds amazing for the Falcons. It's not enough picks, I don't think.
It's not.
Yeah. It's just got to be more than that. It's going to
take the Dolphins pick.
Ludicrous haul. If you're not going to replace the starting quarterback, it's going to take a ludicrous draft haul to get him.
Let me say this. If I'm the Dolphins, I'm probably upping the offer we just read, because I think if you simply plug in Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins as currently constructed, I think that's not only a playoff team, I think it's a really tough road, I know, but I think that's a championship-level team. I think he's that good, and everything about what Brian Flores has done has been successful, but it's handling the quarterback situation. Everything.
Totally. It's definitely turning to the max, their potential. Whatever it is, we would find out what it is. And the other thing about that, they don't really have a true number one receiver, but Deshaun just proved this year that he can still thrive without having a true number one.
I'm going to skip the Deshaun Watson for Stafford, number seven or overall, next year's first, next year's second, because that's just a no for me. I'm going to go to the fifth one that Sando at The Athletic puts out there. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's also the kind of return I think you have to get for Deshaun Watson. And it's really interesting. And at the surface, it's a hell yes. I think it depends on your evaluation of Jimmy Garoppolo. But the proposed trade that was put together by some sources of this writer at The Athletic, the Niners get Deshaun Watson with Kyle Shanahan, which makes them a contender immediately. However, not only do they give up Jimmy G, not only do they give up their number, I think, 12 overall pick in the first round this year, not only do they give up a second-round pick next year that becomes a first round when the Niners make the playoffs, so it would really be two first rounds, they also give up Nick Bosa in this trade.
How about that? Yeah, see, that's almost overcompensating. It's not, but it's getting there. It just, man, it's the same thing as the Dolphins. It turns them on Super Bowl window all the way on, full max potential if they can get Watson over there, which is why this even makes any sense. It just seems like that Bosa step is dramatic. And that is a huge part of their identity, too, that defensive front.
Yeah, and they unloaded DeForest Buckner last year, right? Was that a year ago? I mean, it's not like the pass rush. Like, they need, I mean, Bosa's a critically important part of what they do.
And he also, he just baseline looked like a top five defensive player in the league when he's been healthy since he's come into the league. So
he has, when he's out there, he absolutely is. I mean, the thing is, Deshaun Watson is that good. I mean, how many quarterbacks are there really who are better than Deshaun Watson in a vacuum. I mean, there's Patrick Mahomes, there's Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to put Tom Brady on the list. I think it's probably not the right answer, actually. Deshaun Watson's currently a better QB, but the winning that Brady is doing is self-evident. I'm not disrespecting Josh Allen. Just Deshaun Watson's a better QB, even than the way that Josh Allen played this year. Who am I forgetting?
I mean, it would only be Russ, but Watson had a better season than Russ this year, too, and I think has a higher upside, honestly, going forward.
And by all accounts, and I think they're accurate, he's a good guy. And that matters. It just matters. It matters. And again, normally a guy forcing his way out, I think, would be a warning sign. It was with every guy we've talked about in the NBA where this is more common, right? I think it is with Oladipo, who I like. He's a good guy. There's exceptions to the rule. If Deshaun Watson is forcing his way out, either Deshaun Watson's not the good guy I thought he was, or he's playing with four people that aren't good people, and he doesn't want anything to do with it.
And I think he's got evidence from this season. I mean, they traded away his number one receiver in a historically embarrassing trade for the franchise, then had a terrible season where he carried the team and they just blew game after game. And even after all that, he was still perfectly willing to move forward with the Texans so long as the process of replacing the head coach made sense, as long as he was part of it. And they couldn't even do that much. I think that says everything about his character. At this point, he almost has no choice but to stand up for himself and for the whole effort that the entire team is trying to do in winning. There is a winning part of this, that's what he's focused on, and he seems to be the only person in power in Houston who is actually focused on that goal.
Indeed. And again, I think on top of that, I think I don't know Deshaun Watson well. I don't know him. I've interviewed him. I know people who know him, whatever. So I'm speculating. I think he's the kind of guy who would even see those things through if he felt like the people he was working for were good people. Like, okay, this is miserable, and the last regime screwed up, and this isn't going to go well, but I'm a person of my word, and I'm gonna build. I think it's the additional, in fact, Deshaun Watson said this, like, at his press conference, he said, we need people who aren't selfish. We need not have a toxic environment. I don't blame the guy. And so I think you're getting a hell of a leader. It's rare you get an amazing leader in person who just forces his way out of a contract. That's a unicorn. That's a unicorn of a unicorn. Go get him. Go get him, If you're the Jets, do it. Do it. Look, I'd rather have him than Kyler Murray. I'd rather have him than Joe Burrow. I'd rather have him than Trevor Lawrence. And I know that's not. I would. He's a proven level of greatness. And does anyone really believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to complete 70% of his passes the first year, let alone 3 years of his career? I don't. People don't do that. That doesn't occur. I love this stuff. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Mr. DiBenedetto and Mr. Bogus and I are going to do some early AFC-NFC championship predictions, two early predictions. And look, those of you, the many of you asking at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, when producer underscore Tom is going to give in to the Bieber fever and play you some Bieber. I don't know. That's his call on the music. The Bieber fever is building, but we'll see. Maybe it's coming up. I know NFL Talk is next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Let's get to the phone lines. Tony in Pennsylvania, thank you for listening, buddy. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Watson trade. I think we're forgetting a team that nobody else has thought of in the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike Mayock drafts everybody from Clemson. He likes winners. Gruden was enamored with Watson when the draft came up, if you remember correctly. And we could throw in maybe Carr. Gabe Jackson's got to go because we're over the salary cap. Save us a little bit of money. Throw him another one next year, maybe a two this year. What do you think of that?
Dude, I would love to see Deshaun Watson in Vegas, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's just if he had, like, I don't know, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, then that feels like a trade you can pull off. You don't have enough to give. I think it has to be picks and an impact player of some kind, or at least the possibility of an impact. Tua, Darnold, maybe they're duds, and maybe they're not. Like, maybe in the right situation, they're going to be successful. You at least have to be able to sell that on the idea, you have to be able to sell the Texans on the notion, on the notion that there's a quarterback who's a part of the package. The thing is, if I'm part of any fan base anywhere, I want Deshaun Watson. I'm in, right? Not Kansas City, obviously. Not Buffalo. You don't need to make that move, obviously. Not Green Bay. Now, Tampa Bay, not Seattle. I think Watson, is, as Tom pointed out, is a better QB, but not there. I mean, if I'm the Rams, why wouldn't you offer Jared Goff a bunch of... I mean, every organization is enhanced in a major way. Kyler Murray, gone. Jared Goff, gone. I mean, you name the QB, and I'm out, other than a handful of guys. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. All right, guys, we got way... Andrew Bogish, Tom DiBenedetto, way too early predictions. Now, I'm not going to lie, guys. A good little run for me in this postseason gambling thing, right? So far, I'm sitting at 7-3. So I'm not making my mind up yet, and the lines I'm going to bet on haven't locked in yet. But the early lines that are out, the early lines, are we'll start in the AFC side. And we don't have all the info. I think Mahomes is going to play, but we'll see. It's Buffalo +4, and the Chiefs, I believe the Chiefs have not covered. I think it's, if you include the playoffs, I think it's 9 straight games. It might be 10.
Yeah, and that is Vegas aggressively believing that Mahomes is going to play too, giving Buffalo 4 points as of
absolutely.
Right now.
I think he's going to play as well. If that line holds, do you guys have a bet, and do you have a team? Because it's what I want to do is go Chiefs are going to win, but Bills are going to cover. That's a tough bet to make. You're actually just gambling on Bills +4, but you're saying that you think it's going to be a field goal game. A lot can happen to throw that off.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still leaning Bills. I was leaning Bills last week, too. It just feels like they're somehow on a magical run right now, and the Chiefs aren't exactly right. But I'm definitely undecided. To me, this is much tougher than the other game.
I agree.
I don't like this game at all. Not even a little bit.
I'm with you, dude.
Four, there's not enough wiggle room in 4 for me. Because the problem is, like you just said, I mean, all they've done, the reason why they haven't covered it in 2 months is because all they do is play close games. And so my heart thinks 38-34 Chiefs with Mahomes healthy. Now I'm right on the number. So that number is in a weird spot for me personally where I think this one is going to go. But, I mean, it's just the Chiefs are annoying right now and sitting on this number just like last week where for a while they're okay, then all of a sudden, nope, never mind, Browns +10 was good.
This is super, super early line too. Like, I don't even know to what degree they factored in Mahomes or had any information. It's like right when the game ended.
And in theory,
I mean, that's got to be full strength Mahomes.
Right. But once they make an announcement either way on Mahomes, you would think, as long as it's early, and it might not be.
Yeah, the number's going to move.
Yeah, the number's going to move. The other tough thing about this is
it's moved to 3. It's moved to 3. I just looked. It's now +3 for Buffalo.
I would assume that you get at least another point or two if they confirm that Mahomes is definitely starting. I would assume just the natural reaction of the line.
I mean, Bills +5 or 4.5, it's like,
not a bad bet at all.
No, it's not.
The other tough thing, though, about this is Buffalo has both shown us a great defensive performance in these playoffs and a terrible defensive performance in these playoffs, and it's like they gotta obviously need the great one to beat Mahomes.
And their past defense can be very suspect.
Yes. You saw it against the Colts. They got lit up by
I think Chiefs are going to win the game. It's just Mahomes is an unknown. And the Bucs opened. Here's the opposite direction. The Bucs opened as 3-point underdogs. Now it's 4. Right now it's Tampa Bay +4. I think I like the Bucs.
Wow.
Yeah, I might take the Bucs to win.
Holy smokes, that's awesome. I love that. I'm going to be on the Packers. I actually think that this is a Packers season. It's in Lambeau. I know Brady's used to cold weather, but he's also a zombie. He's played really well, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. But I just think the Packers are kind of an unstoppable offense, and that's why I'll probably lean that way.
I think it's fascinating that Bucks-Packers, it's the early game, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. It's Brady going to Lambeau. And it's the early game. That's how good the playoffs are.
Well, I think, though, I believe they simply alternate back and forth, which is the late game. So I think there's no choice this weekend. I think this is CBS, no matter what the matchup was. It could be Jets-Dolphins, and it would have been the second game.
But we're going to go to Unicorns next. I mean, Bogus, why are you bringing those facts?
Sorry.
Like a high-powered fact machine. Oh, that's too bad. I like the Bucks. Bogus, where are you at? What are you feeling?
If I look at this objectively, I'll take the Packers and lay those points because specifically they cut up a defense in the Rams last week, and that's better than the Bucs defense. And then if you look at the game on Sunday for the Bucs, I think there's a lot of things that went in their favor that are not going to repeat this week. And I don't think that the Packers have four turnovers. I think the Packers might pick off one of the passes that Brady threw into trouble that the Saints didn't last weekend. But I'm also talking myself in now, preparing myself as a petty Brady hater, that there's going to be another Brady win and another Brady Super Bowl, because why wouldn't there be?
I've seen this story so many times. Brady going to Lambeau to play Rodgers, I mean, we probably are in a simulation, right? Like, I mean, come on. Feels like we just got a note from one of our bosses, by the way. You on this, Bogish? I don't even know you guys. Glitch in the Matrix, glitch in the simulation, the Bieber fever. That's why it's a fever. You don't want it. It just spreads.
You just catch it.
Caught more than you wanted.
It's funny. I've been producing Bogish Minutes, Sports Minutes for weeks, begging for this Brady versus
and what
Rodgers
was yesterday's?
I put
myself in the situation. I wanted to see this in bad weather and snow. I wanted it, you know, we couldn't have it until this year. Maybe this is our only chance, so let me see it. And now that I see it, and now we're this close to the Super Bowl, what was I thinking?
You
How did I
truth,
want Brady to survive
this
long? This is my fault. If he's in the Super Bowl after 40 regular season touchdown passes,
oh, you nailed
and then
that.
Me asking for him to play at Lambeau, it's all on me. It's
I love the humble brag fact drop.
Yeah.
I dug it?
That was on purpose.
I respect it.
Yeah.
It ain't bogus, it's truth. We haven't done truth and bogus in a while. It's amazing. Anybody on Follow John Twitter in the last 24 hours? Should we have a 10-minute conversation about that?
So I haven't checked again, but then somebody else pointed out that they've lost a bunch of people, like I think just through a purge. So I wanted to see if my overall number had gone down, but no, it hasn't. So apparently I wasn't followed by that many Russian bots recently, but just that one in particular person did jump ship.
Can either of you name this movie reference? If you can, I'll be wildly impressed. And then I know we have to get to an update and buy or sell. Movie reference. My parents died when I was 12. Do you want to talk about that too? Why would I want to talk about that? I don't know. Same thing on my Twitter account. Why would we want to talk about that? I don't know. All-time great film. All-time great comedian. Billy Idol plays a role in it. Wedding Singer.
Wow.
Right. Sandler, Wedding Singer.
It's a cone!
Bogish and I both had the same pain reaction.
Such a good.
Both whiffed.
Such a good movie. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's me.
Between
the Bieber fever. Oh, classic. Classic.
You sounded like you were doing a Jason Schwartzman impersonation, though. You had a very whiny Jason Schwartzman voice going on there.
How do you do Adam Sandler without ruin, like, you know, lunch lady? I mean, other than like doing, you know, why would I want to talk about that? I can't do clearly imitations and barely can do radio. So on that beautiful note, let's do an update.
You'll always have writing. New Mets owner Steve Cohen has dealt with his first controversy quickly and strongly. GM Jerry Porter fired this morning because of an ESPN story last night detailing Porter's harassment of a female foreign journalist back in 2016. After a brief meeting in a Yankee Stadium elevator, Porter sent this woman dozens of unsolicited lewd messages, some explicit photos. ESPN has had the story since 2017, but only now that a woman feel comfortable coming forward. The Mets did not know of this when they hired Porter just last month. Cohen tweeted this morning, there should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. In regular baseball news, the Nationals are signing former Cub John Lester. He's the second to go from Chicago to D.C. this winter, following Kyle Schwarber. Two games with James Harden, and now two wins for the Nets.
Harden's got it. Three on the way. No good, too strong. Harden his own rebound. Out to Durant. Open three. Gone! OKD! on the offensive rebound by the
Beard. That's Chris Carino on Nets Radio. Harden, 12 assists and 34 points. Durant scored 30 in a 125-123 win over the Bucks. Kyrie, though, missed his seventh in a row. The Warriors, a 115-113 win over the Lakers at Staples after trailing by 14 early in the fourth. And the Heat beat the Pistons 113-107 in a game that started at 8 instead of 3 to finish COVID testing. The Wizards outbreak causing a fifth consecutive postponement. No game tomorrow in Charlotte. Washington reportedly only has 6 healthy players right now. The Atlanta Falcons have hired Saints VP Terry Fontenot as general manager, and Washington expected to hire Marty Herney as GM, reuniting him with Ron Rivera. Tennessee is firing football coach Jeremy Pruitt for cause amid an investigation into recruiting violations. The school told Pruitt in his termination letter it expects major NCAA infractions because of his neglect. 9 other staff members losing their job as well, and AD Philip Fulmer is retiring, but the school says that is an unrelated decision. College hoops last night. Number 2 Baylor took care of number 9 Kansas 77-69. The Jayhawks losing back-to-back Big 12 games for the first time since February of 2013. And on ice last night, the Leafs beat the Jets 3-1. The Blues topped the Sharks 5-4. And Anaheim blanked Minnesota 1-0 for its first win of the season. Bill, back to you.
Thank you, Bogus. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Let's get a call. Dalton in Pennsylvania, thank you for listening. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes game.
Do it, dude. Fire away.
I think Bills are going to pull it out because they're both throwing over 300 yards a game, and I think Josh Allen is the most dedicated player. His improvement has been tremendous this year. And the secondary for Bills, I think with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you shut them down. I think Bills are going to pull it out. I really think they could surprise everybody.
Dalton, thanks, buddy. Yeah, man, shutting down Kelce and Tyreek Hill, that is easier said than done. And that's another thing about Mahomes, not hitting on Mahomes. The weapons that guy has. Just the greatness meets the opportunity. Nothing would surprise me. I mean, we are in the AFC and NFC championship games. Every one of these teams are capable of winning the Super Bowl. That's part of the beauty of getting here. I think it's going to be Bucks, Chiefs, but it wouldn't shock me. That's early, right? I got to sort of ruminate, get some information, but Packers, Bills would not surprise me. Either way, what a Super Bowl. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call, buy or sell, next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, so as you heard Andrew Bogish mention a couple times this morning, Tennessee football is once again lost in the wilderness. Jeremy Pruitt has been fired along with many others in the Vols program. The school claimed in their intent to terminate letter that, quote, the conduct by at least 2 assistant coaches and several recruiting staff members are likely to lead to an NCAA finding of level 1 and or level 2 violations of one or more governing athletic rules, end quote. This opening has attracted a lot of attention and controversy over the last decade over and over again, so it shouldn't be a surprise that big names in need of football rehab like Tom Herman and Bill O'Brien are already being thrown around. But buy or sell, there is, in reality, any juice or appeal left in the Tennessee Vols job.
Man, how old is Archie Manning? Arch Manning? 15?
Yeah, 16 maybe? Yeah, something like that.
I guess he's that good.
Apparently.
It's hard
to tell. The name is certainly a good start.
I mean, no. I mean, the answer to the question, I don't see it.
Sell.
And those are big names. If I'm Bill O'Brien, though, you've seen the result. And Sark talked about this. He got offered jobs. I'm sure Sark got offered jobs on the equivalent with or not as good as the Tennessee job. Now he's the Texas head coach. If you're Bill O'Brien, go be the offensive coordinator at Alabama and wait for USC or Notre Dame or God help Sark, Texas, or whatever job it is in 2 or 3 years.
I was going to sneak that in next. Yeah, you would rather do the Saban OC job than take this Tennessee job?
Is that the next one? Bye.
Bye.
100%. You know, Florida State. You never know what job is going to come open. Michigan. You know, obviously Bill O'Brien's got some experience. I'm not sure if he can go to Michigan after Penn State, but I don't know. I mean, hell, Saban went from LSU to Alabama. You can do whatever you want, as it turns out.
Isn't that what history keeps teaching us? Part of those changes at Tennessee, by the way, include the ousting of the last truly successful coach of the Vols, Philip Fulmer, who has been serving as the athletic director for the last 3+ years. He's stepping down as a search firm identifies his replacement, meaning he will not be hiring the next coach. But here's what he said about what the program needs from its next head coach.
I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more. And I am confident that we will find that coach.
No coach has lasted more than 5 seasons since he left. Buy or sell, the next Tennessee coach completes even 3 seasons.
Sell. No.
Sell.
Kind of feels like either that coach is going to come in and fail, or they're going to come in. If you're a Bill O'Brien, you hire Bill O'Brien. I don't think Bill O'Brien's going to Tennessee to be at Tennessee for 3 years.
Brutal news from the NBA last night is the Blazers have announced star shooting guard CJ McCollum has a hairline fracture in his left foot and won't be evaluated again for at least a month. The Blazers had an exciting offseason, were thought to be candidates to make a big jump in the West, but they've already lost Yusuf Nurkic to a broken wrist just last week and have gotten off to an 8-6 start. Buy or sell, the Blazers could miss the playoffs now in a stacked West.
All right, so I got to ask you this question because of this new world that we're in. Miss the playoffs meaning top 8, or miss the playoffs meaning top 10 you get to play in, or miss the playoffs meaning you have to advance to the best of 7 seasons?
I was leaving it open for you to kind of define it because I'm not even sure exactly how we should define it, but I'm always thinking top 8.
All right, I'm going to sell that they miss the playoffs.
Sell.
I just think Lillard is too good, and I recognize the Spurs have played better than people expected. The Suns, I think, are going to be really good as they figure it out. I know they've lost a couple in a row. The Mavericks haven't figured it out yet. Denver hasn't figured it out yet. New Orleans is below 500. I get all of that. I just think Dame is too good to let his team, even with those injuries, miss the postseason.
On the flip side of that, James Harden wasn't the only one with a splashy debut with his new team, as Victor Oladipo actually matched Harden's Nets debut scoring performance with 32 points for the Rockets in a losing effort last night. It was the best debut the franchise has seen since James Harden's 37-point arrival to begin the 2012-2013 season. After the game, Oladipo said, quote, "I know the better days are ahead for the Houston Rockets, and I'm looking forward to being a part of those special days," end quote. Buy or sell the Oladipo Wall Rockets combination could still salvage the season and will do top 8. The Rockets could possibly make the top 8.
I mean, this is a team that's 4-8, so I'm just going to sell in part because it takes a while for guys to figure each other out, and the West is way too crowded. It's just, and I know it's only 12 games. It's just the West is way too crowded to be in any kind of a hole. But, and I said this when the trade happened, I think John Wall and Victor Oladipo and all those picks are an incredible foundation for the future.
Former NBA star Steven Jackson told Mark Spears of The Undefeated that Kyrie Irving purchased a house for the family of George Floyd, apparently providing the funds for the family somewhere around 6 months ago. He's also pledged $1.5 million to supplement the WNBA salaries for anybody who opted out. This happened in July. Buy or sell, these type of things from Kyrie should play into your reaction or anyone's reaction to his performance as a teammate.
As a teammate, no. So it's interesting because I'm glad we talked about it. I think it's worth all the praise that he gets. I mean, what an incredible gesture, not just selfless, but especially George Floyd's family, right? It's easy to rally around injustice, but to actually have the means to make a difference and to decide to do that is a pretty amazing act as a human being. And this is what we talk about all the time. Good people are bad teammates. Bad people can be good teammates. You can be a great person or a terrible person, and unfortunately, that does not correlate the way that karma would suggest, the way that you would hope it would, to people's careers. I have worked for, and I'm sure you have too, wherever you're listening, amazing people and terrible people is just part of the deal. So no, I think it's a very different thing from him as a player and a teammate. I think he's an atrocious teammate. But it's evidence that he's a really great human being. And it makes it interesting how you make these assessments. I mean, the reality is Pete Rose was a great teammate. I've talked to guys. They love playing Pete Rose. Amazing teammate. You're going to win. Not a good person. I mean, just not. So it's, fortunately, there's no correlation, but I love that Kyrie did that, and he deserves this praise. We should have done more, and whatever praise he gets. That is an incredible act. Good for Kyrie Irving. Maybe I'll be bum of the week this week just for making him bum of the week. Few weeks ago. Great, great guy. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Get on the phone for tomorrow. We appreciate you. Thank you to Andrew Bogish. Thank you to Tom DiBenedetto. Brady Papinga is going to be on the program, I think, tomorrow. I think that's the plan. I'm Bill Ryder. We'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.